Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes, sir.
You're appearing here for...
George Zimmerman appeared before a judge in Sanford, Florida this afternoon, the first step in his prosecution for the second-degree murder of Trayvon Martin.
I'm Peter King in Sanford. The hearing was short and to the point. A circuit judge will arraign George Zimmerman May 29th. He'll remain in the county jail for now. Zimmerman is charged with second-degree murder, Assistant State Attorney Bernie Dellarionda.
We charged what we thought was appropriate, and that's what we're going to rely on.
Defense Attorney Mark O'Mara.
We have to figure out how it happened, why it happened, and who might be responsible for it.
Zimmerman says he shot and killed Trayvon Martin in self-defense. Peter King, CBS News, Sanford.
Federal regulators are proposing that cars be built with throttle override systems to prevent runaway acceleration.
This is an outgrowth of the sudden acceleration recall at Toyota 2 years back. The blame there was placed on accelerator pedals becoming trapped under floor mats. A brake throttle override would have cut power the second the driver's foot hit the brake. Many car companies, including Toyota, are already voluntarily introducing this technology.
WWJ reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit. You may be poked and prodded in the security line, squeezed into a tiny airline seat, but for the most part, your bags are arriving with you. The FAA says fewer bags are being lost. Only 2.5 per 1,000 passengers were mishandled in February. CBS News aviation safety consultant Mark Rosenkirk.
There's a much better process for maintaining the luggage on the flight that it's supposed to be, which is where the passenger is.
There's a new sign the job market may be weakening. Claims for jobless benefits rose by 13,000 to 380,000 last week. Economist Joel Naroff.
We still can't expect really strong growth until we resolve some of the hurdles that are out there. And high gasoline prices are clearly slowing things down to some extent.
Do tax incentives for job creation really work? CBS's Larry Miller says it's not entirely clear.
States pour millions of dollars into job creation programs, but few have any idea whether the incentives, including corporate tax breaks, are working. That's what the Pew Center says it discovered, senior researcher Jeff Chapman.
By not using effective incentives, they could miss opportunities to create jobs.
Spending money but not tracking results is a recipe for disaster.
These are mistakes they can't afford to make right now.
Pew says there aren't any states taking a regular hard look at the effectiveness of all its incentives. Larry Miller, CBS News.
California labor law says workers must get lunch and rest breaks, but the state Supreme Court says it's not up to employers to make sure workers take them. Attorneys for workers argued abuses are widespread when companies aren't required to issue direct orders to take breaks. On Wall Street, the Dow up 170 points, NASDAQ up 36. This is CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you parts. No, we work to bring you deals on parts. Like right now, when you buy any Autolite spark plug wires, we'll give you a set of Autolite Platinum spark plugs valued up to $24 free. At Advance, we get you the parts you need fast. And then sometimes we give you free stuff. As if fast wasn't sweet enough. Service is our best part. See store for details.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where we whip up agents like lemon meringue, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? It takes a fiery disposition to run a restaurant and a fiery flambé to ruin it. True. But with the Farmers Business Owner's Policy, your restaurant has coverage for all the times a flambé misfires and the one time it misfires onto a customer's lap.
If you want answers about business insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
It's getting pretty parched in the nation's midsection.
Midwest corn and soybean farmers have been keeping their eyes on the sky and their fingers crossed. A lack of sufficient moisture has resulted in drought conditions. Some tillers of the soil, though, prefer to remain optimistic.
We've had drought for probably going on 8 months as far as average precipitation. But if you average it over the last 2 years, we're probably not in too bad a shape yet.
And farmer Wayne Smith says if rain does arrive soon, consumers will benefit.
Consumers will probably have reduced prices, or should have.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
A cow that escaped from a New Jersey slaughterhouse will be spared. The black and white bovine was seen running through the streets of Paterson, New Jersey, Tuesday night. An animal control officer said it was like Dodge City, with police cars trying to round up the 750-pound animal. It was eventually tranquilized, and the owner promised to take it to a farm. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
An idea is born, but your team lives worlds apart.
No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy way to meet online and face-to-face with high-definition video. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, share screens in real time, and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
The weather's getting warmer, and Lowe's has everything you need to make the most of spring. That's why Lowe's offers free delivery on all in-store and online purchases of riding and walk-behind mowers, grills, and patio sets $249 or more. Plus, save more by choosing 18-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more when you use your Lowe's consumer credit card. Lowe's, never stop improving. Offers valid through 4/16/12. Special financing cannot be combined with 5% off everyday credit offer. See store for details.
We got stuff to talk about. Rain is one thing, and then we got other stuff too that's happening today, and we'll talk about all these things.
And now, here's Bill Binica.
The world's gone a bit cuckoo again today, you know. But we're gonna sort it out as best we can. Hi, it's Thursday. It's raining. This is Talk Is Cheap, your friends and neighbors network with Bill Binica, and I thank you for joining me on 1340 KYNS, your news station. So. I'm going to do a shout out. This is how I'm going to start. So I'm going to do a shout out let me make sure I get this right. The youngest sister of my brother-in-law, who lives in Oregon, and Catherine and Todd, and their four kids are staying in Pismo, and they're visiting from Sacramento. So I want to say hi to them. And you know what's fun is when people have fun last names, and their last name is Peppercorn. Honestly, that's their last name, Peppercorn. And their vacation in Pismo Beach, obviously to get away from the daily grind.
This is Talk Is Cheap. With Bill Binica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Most smokehouse barbecues would knock them out of the park over and over with their award-winning baby back ribs to their pulled pork, chicken, and shredded beef, tri-tip, and Louisiana hot link sandwiches. How about a salad six kinds, maybe one of four burgers or a chicken job, either sandwich or a half a bird. Most has enormous selection of size from beans, tater salad, fries, O-rings, and the list goes on and on. Kids menu, soda pop, brewskis by the pitcher, Moe's in Slowtown and at the beach in Pismo. You'll be saying, Moe barbecue, please.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Oh, and to the peppercorns, Moses right on Dolliver there, and so you could just wander over there and have some great barbecue, and that which you don't eat, you can just salt away, I suppose.
Want to improve office morale around the break room? Are you tired of hearing employees grumble about bad office coffee? There's an easy solution to this. Invite Slow Roasted Coffee's office service into your business. They're your local coffee company that features fair trade certified organically grown coffees roasted daily and delivered fresh to you so you can taste the difference. For 24 years now, this locally owned and operated family business has been serving the Central Coast. Slow Roasted Coffee believes customer service really does matter, which is why they provide 24-hour customer care. Slow Roasted Coffee's office service is perfect for the workplace as well as restaurants and lodging facilities. You'll never have a bitter cup of coffee again. Consistency, freshness, and convenience is what you'll enjoy when you call Slow Roasted Coffee's office service. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. Coffee, the original energy drink.
The original energy drink right there, Slow Roast, is so good. It's so good. You know, I realize coffee prices are pretty stiff, but if you're gonna buy coffee and you're going to enjoy coffee, buy the stuff that's really good. Don't be buying that canned junk. Buy some Slow Roast. All right, here we go. This is according to the Tribune, our highlight in History Day. On April 12th in 1955, the Salk vaccine against polio was declared safe and effective, and thank you, Mr. Salk. On this date in 1606, England's King James I decreed the design of the original Union flag, which combined the flags of England and Scotland. What did he do? Oh, he decreed that the design of the flag was going to be. In 1861, the American Civil War began as Confederate forces opened fire at Fort Sumter in South Carolina. 1877, the catcher's mask was first used in a baseball game by James Tyne of Harvard in a game against the Lynn Live Oaks. Yes. In 1912, Clara Barton, the founder of the American Red Cross, died in Glen Echo, Maryland, at the age of 90. In 1961, Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first man to fly in space, orbiting the Earth at once before making a safe landing. In 1981, the space shuttle Columbia blasted off from Cape Canaveral on its first test flight. Our birthdays today include jazz musician Herbie Hancock is 72, author Tom Clancy is 65, talk show host David Letterman is 65, rhythm and jazz singer J.D. Nichols is from the Commodores is 60, actress Shannon Doherty is 41, and actress Claire Danes is 33. And, yes, I did get them all right today, and I thank myself very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
All right, it's lunchtime. And so you're saying, where should I go for lunch, Billy? I'm going to tell you right here, because you're at Spencer's Fresh Markets. And you say, well, you can't just go down the aisle and start chewing on stuff. No, but they have a deli department that's absolutely fab. And you go in the deli department, and you find this, the belly department, a slip of the tongue. You'll find these sorts of things. They have a Spencer's Tri-Tip sandwich for $4.99 each. It's made with Jack Daniel's barbecue sauce and served on a cheddar jalapeno roll. That just sounds good to me. I'm going to tell you that right now. And then for $5.99, you get a whole rotisserie chicken. Now, you might say, well, that's eating a little bit too much. You know, well, you can share it with somebody. And then you're paying three bones for the thing. That's pretty good. And then they have classic macaroni and cheese. It's $2.99 a pound. I don't recommend that a single person eat a pound of macaroni and cheese. I think it would change your life forever. But you could. And then Italian pasta salad is $2.99 in the deli department. So you got that, you got the bakery stuff, you got all that. In San Luis Obispo, they got a plate. You get soup to go with your meal. And then don't forget all the other great things that are going on at Spencer's. And let me tell you right now about the super duper sale that is the 4-day sale that goes on today, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And so you have almond breeze almond drink for $2.29 holler. That's a 32 ounce package. I haven't had that, but I had hemp drink the other day. No, it was great. 99 cents natural directions organic beans are 99 cents a can. And then Uncle Ben. I remember Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben's boil in a bag rice is $2.99. Natural directions organic pasta is $1.69. Kettle brand potato chips, two for $5. And then you have gold pack brewed iced tea for just $1.99. Want some more items here? Okay, Springfield Clover honey is just $3.49. Springfield hash brown taters, $1.69. Natural Directions organic milk is $2.79. And Knutson milk is $1.69. Want more? Okay. Marie Callender pot pies are just two for $5. That's $2.50 for a Marie Callender pot pie, which is a good price, and the pot pies are really good. And then Alexia frozen potatoes are $3.19 a pound. I get to Spencer's Fresh Markets and all over the Central Coast in five locations in Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo, Atascadero, Aurora Gandy, and the original store in Santa Maria.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Well, I got to change hats real quick. I have to go from a hawker of goods to a reader of news. All right. No, I'm not a journalist, which we're going to get into in a little bit, too, because there's something going on. All right. Police arrested a popular San Luis. This is CalCoast News. Police arrested a popular San Luis Obispo high school teacher on March 29th after he sent threatening emails and then created a ruckus when he refused to leave the district's continuation campus. Brian Sanford Miller had been on voluntary leave from the Slo High when he showed up at the Pacific Beach Continuation High School and asked what math classes he would be teaching in the fall of 2012. After the principal told Miller he would not be teaching any classes, Miller became upset, refused to leave, and told the principal, "I'm going to be on TV today." Following his arrest, police discovered a threatening email that was sent to San Luis Coastal Teachers Association, and I guess we've got time to read a little bit. Let me tell you what it says. It says, this is what the email said. Guess what builds up and explodes? Frustration. It ain't anger. Any anger is wildly taking a gun and shooting someone for no reason. Guys don't snap one day and decide to shoot up their workplace instead of a convenience store. Guys snap and shoot up the office because for 8 years they got treated like blank. When they asked for help and were ridiculed, then they don't give a blank. At some point, I'm going to the office. I will probably die there, but three random people get to die with me, their lives destroyed just like mine. Police arrested Miller for attempted criminal threats, a felony, threatening a school employee, a felony, and disruptive presence at a school, a misdemeanor. He was booked into San Luis Obispo County Jail in lieu of $1 million bail. Teachers are under a lot of pressure. It's rough. All right, other things that are going on in our world here. Look, we talked about Sonny Akers and the kids from Cal Poly, working there. And this is Poly Royal Pain in the Blank Week End. What's it called now? Open house. After years of battling over code requirements, Sandoval community members, public officials, and a group of students are working together to make over Sunny Acres, a sober living facility that sits north of San Luis Obispo on Los Osos Valley Road. County officials and Duval's continued skirmish has resulted in the court ordering Duval to evict 15 homeless people from a 72-acre ranch last summer. In March, a court-ordered receiver took over the reins of the ranch while Duval voiced concerns that the cost of a receiver would result in the loss of his property. Since then, San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Bruce Gibson, attorney Jeff Stolberg, Cal Poly instructor Roya Javapur, and 80 Cal Poly students began working together to bring the property into code compliance and remove the receivership. Duval signed an agreement to donate his ranch in perpetuity to be used as a sober living facility that will be overseen by a nonprofit board of directors. The goal is to come in on April 20th, be able to tell the court all the things on the list have been corrected and get rid of the receivership. Holy cow, they have until the 20th. On Tuesday, students and volunteers hauled away about 50 tons of trash, chopped wood, old vehicles, and numerous other items donated to the cleanup. Excuse me. MJ Ross Construction and Steve Chauvet send dump trucks and drivers to assist the students. Following the court approval, the students plan to construct a new 8,000-square-foot facility slated to house 21 people. These are 80 students who want to change the world, Stolberg said. And they're going to change this part of our world, I can tell you that. We want to keep the least of ours the happiest in the country, according to Oprah Winfrey. Now, this was an interesting story. Walmart, the biggest of the big box stores, creates some big problems for communities, including a surge in the formation of hate groups, a major university study suggested. The study's lead author, D. Stephen Goetz of Penn State, noted that Walmart clearly has done good things in the community studied, especially in terms of lowering prices. But a downside to such commerce is becoming apparent. He added, because there are indirect costs that are not as obvious as other effects. Goetz said their researchers discovered an undeniable correlation between the number of Walmart stores in any given county and local hate group activity. By driving away small businesses in the community, Goetz said the community values are eroded, civil engagement limited, and social bonds broken, all of which provides fertile ground for an uptick in hate group activity. Research said they selected Walmart for the study partly because the store's presence usually indicates other big box stores, such as Target and Home Depot, are nearby. You know what that is. And then we're going to get to another story that's not on CalcoastNews.com, but in the Tribune, but has to do with CalcoastNews.com next.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Let me preface this story with the fact that I've often said to you, I'm not a journalist. I've never taken a single class in journalism. I don't really understand the ethics of journalism. I understand the ethics of broadcasting, I suppose, and what I think is right and wrong, but I don't know about journalism. But here's the rub on this thing. This is a Tribune, a reporter for an online news organization. Let's not do the novel. Let's just get down to it. CalcoastNews.com senior correspondent Dan Blackburn bought and registered the domain name for Change Past Robles Now's website, which is www.cprn2012.org. I continue. As soon as I find the page. All right. And it's a big, long story. Holy cow. We'll just kind of do a little bit of it. Okay. Calcos News also appears as the registrant's organization, something Blackburn said was a mistake because his personal business, Central Coast News Agency, should have appeared instead. He reiterated that twice. And so then they asked an ethics person because, you know, here they, you know, Calcos News obviously did the reports on Lisa Solomon and everything else was going on in Paso. And so is there a conflict of interest? Here's what they said. Now, he said that he collects domain names. But so here's what the ethics person said. Kelly McBride, a senior faculty representative in ethics for Poynter Institute, a journalism school in St. Petersburg, said it's not a huge conflict for a reporter to donate a website to a citizens group that's journalistic in nature. But the timing of it is suspect. If he had bought it a year ago, that would be one thing. But that he just bought it, and lo and behold, this organization had just wanted it is a little questionable. As a journalist, you always try to be super, super transparent. He did have an alternative, McBride said, of Blackburn's situation. He could have vacated the domain name and let them buy it. That would have been the easiest way to avoid any conflict. Now, so here's what I don't know. This is I don't know this, and I need a journalism person. Do I have any around here? No, she just there's a person here, but she just got a degree in broadcasting. I didn't even know I had one of those. But anyway, I don't know how. I don't know what the ethical thing is. Dan Blackburn is a resident of Paso Robles. He's also a reporter for Cal Coast News. And again, I'm not going to defend him or not defend him. I don't know the answer. So is it a conflict of interest if you're a resident of a city and but you're also a reporter to say I want to see things change in Paso Robles and get behind this organization? Apparently, that's what they're saying it is. But that reminds me of back when Alan Settle was fined by the Fair Political Practices people because he voted on some small incidental thing that had to do with the Delidio property, and he had a rental house over in that area. And I agreed with Alan Settle. He said, you know what, if you're a mayor, if you're a councilman in a small town, what do you have to recuse yourself from everything that you vote on? I mean, how can you even vote on anything? Because somehow it's going to affect you one way or the other. So that was interesting. So anyway, we have somebody on the phone. Maybe they're a journalist and they can tell me, but maybe not. Let's say he was on the phone and say hello to.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi, Ann.
It's Ann. Yeah, on that story, you know, Dan should have probably remembered the old axiom, you know, that Caesar's wife not only has to be above suspicion, she has to appear to be above suspicion.
Right.
And one of the problems that comes in here is if you're supposed to be a journalist, you're supposed to be neutral, disengaged, so that you can report all sides of what's going on and do it fairly. But if you are somehow involved with or appear to be involved with a political action group or something of that sort,
right,
it'd be pretty hard then to claim that you're neutral if you're reporting on a story that might be about that group. So there's some trickiness there. But the other thing that was just unfortunate is that you know as well as I do that Cal Coast News has come under heavy fire because they're an outfit that does investigative reporting, and they go turn rocks over and follow stories and report on it. And it's because a lot of the reporting involves some bad behavior, let's say.
Right.
They're going to come under fire from everybody, and their credibility is always going to be on the line, and they can be dismissed as lightweights or partisan or whatever. And so
swamp gas.
They really got a tight wire to walk.
Let me re-ask this question of you, and again, I don't know the rules. So if you're a citizen, you're a reporter, but you're a citizen. And so, like, for instance, Bob Cuddy, Bill Morum, all the people that do these columns, they usually report on things that are going on in their cities.
Well, they're columnists. Columnists are
different.
Allowed more leeway because they're opinionators.
Okay.
A reporter to have the appearance of neutrality has to pretend that they are neutral. You know, if you're a reporter and you are living in a small town, especially, and everybody knows that you're either a staunch Democrat and you're supporting candidate A and whatever, and then you have to write a story about candidate A. You don't want the readers to roll their eyes and go, oh, yeah, well, of course.
Right.
So that's some of the problem with that. So reporters and the big guys like Peter Jennings and all the big wigs, they have to pretend to, you know, they just keep quiet about their political leanings. They're not out there tub-thumping and buying domain names and running PACs and all of that, they could be partisan as heck.
But here's
in
what he
real life as citizens, but they just keep quiet about it.
Okay, so one of the things he should have done, I think, is he obviously this with it, this I don't know what the exact time frame is, but I'm going to say this happened within the last month. That's my guess, that this domain name came under his control. And what he should have done to me is sold the domain name to the group.
Well, that's what the ethicist, the lady in Florida, said, basically.
Yeah.
And do it above board, say, you know, but you know and I know that he had created it specifically for this outfit, for this.
And so that's what,
thing.
Here's the thing, if he created for the outfit, that's fine. I mean, look at all the people who have stolen, you know, movie stars' names and
all
that kind of stuff. Okay, so if he said, well, wait a minute, somebody's going to get together and have an organization that's going to say Paso Robles got problems.
Yeah.
We go, okay, then if he said, okay, I'm going to come up with this domain name, then I'm going to go to this people that are interested, those two ladies, and say, are you interested in buying this domain name?
Right.
And then, to me, that would have been fine. I mean, I would
and
have been
strange. And then step away.
Anyway. Yeah.
And then you're out of the game totally. You're
right.
Just, you know. And people would say, my, what a clever fellow. He just made
money.
$50 or whatever the hell.
Right.
And realistically, as a citizen, he does have a right, certainly. I mean, it isn't about rights. It's about perception.
You're right.
You know, nobody's claiming that he doesn't have a right to go picket and protest and write letters to the editor and all that. But if he wants to maintain integrity, perceived integrity of a news organization, then he's got to just be not only transparent, but basically stay out of anything.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is it doesn't matter from what you're saying to me and from what our perception this is. If he says, well, it was to his own personal news organization that was registered and not to CalCoastNews.com, that's, you know, the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's still talking about being an owner of another news organization name and having registered it to that name. Well, what difference does it make?
Yeah, I mean, because Cal Coast News is a online, I don't know what you call it, newspaper? News organization?
I would say I'd call it a news organization.
And as such, it has to, if it wants to have any credibility and not be another Fox Noise, you know, or some political arm of something,
mm-hmm.
It's really got to keep its nose clean, both in real life. You know, have integrity and be honest and blah, blah, blah. But you also have to be really careful about perception.
Now, here's something else I want to say, because this is really important. You know, I normally have Karen Vealy on Fridays. Last year, I was able to get Dan Blackburn on, but that's not guaranteed. And Karen is probably, I'm not sure of this, but she could well possibly still be back in the Midwest because of the death of her mom.
Oh,
and so it's really too bad the timing of this, so that I can't have somebody sitting in front of me and say, okay, let's talk about what's happened, you know, with this situation.
Yeah.
Somebody from Calco News.
I met Dan years ago, and he's always been really involved in, you know, journalism and really tracking stories. And he was part of the Wyrick, I call them the Wyrick 12, you know, the people that stood up with Wyrick and said, no, we're not going to sell out our little papers, you know. So he's always been hard charging in that way. So I just sort of like, it was like, oh, whoops, shouldn't have done that, no.
You know who I'm going to meet?
Explain this away, and then don't make that mistake again. You know, you just part of being a news organization, if you want to have credibility, is you have to pull on your big boy pants, you know, and there's certain givens you just have to do.
Well, here's an interesting thing, and so I know I must understand that, because many times, except to do a tagline, people have asked me that or have political campaigns if I do a commercial for them,
yeah.
And I say no.
Yes.
Because the perception is obviously that I'm supporting you as a candidate.
Yes.
And I'm not going to do that, because otherwise what I do for a living would look really bogus.
Exactly.
You know, so I don't
see,
do
that's
it.
That's that sort of area you got to just walk carefully, unless you want to be known as just a partisan opinionator, then go for it, you know.
And I want to be the exact opposite of that. So
yeah.
That's why I just don't get involved in this stuff. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, for Rush Limbaugh is a partisan opinionator.
Yeah.
No bones about it. But if you want to stake out a middle ground, then you have to remain silent about your own opinions and then deal in kind of that walk in that straight line right down the middle.
Well, they don't, and the progressives on KYNS are exactly the same way on the other side. I mean,
exactly.
They're not trying to hide what they feel.
No,
they're trying to emphasize what they feel.
They'll come right out and tell you, I'm a progressive, and here's what I believe, and here's my opinion. But like I say, you choose your dance, and then you better learn the steps. And kind of you have to do them.
Now,
and journalism, if you want to be taken seriously, and it becomes especially critical when you're doing something more than just an advertorial publication,
mm-hmm.
when you're going after turning rocks over and dealing with police chiefs and supervisors and, you know, the big boys, then you really got to keep your nose clean.
Well, let me ask
because
you,
otherwise it's so easy to discredit.
Okay, let me ask you an opinion about something. Dave Conlon has taken a couple of thumps over the head in the letters to the editor because he said of Rush Limbaugh's recent faux pas, he said, you know, if you don't like it, you really should just turn off the radio or change the channel. I have a lunatic, of course, that's always after me. But that is the perception of every broadcaster I've ever known. That, you know, if you don't like what's going on, let's say back when I was a music station, well, I didn't like that record, I don't like your music. Well, then what are you listening to it for?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's music, talk, or what it is. If it's not your bailiwick, there's tons and tons. We have more radio in San Luis Obispo County than there is in Orange County. We have more radio stations.
Where it gets down to a matter of choice is this radio station manager. He has an ability to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
He may not program some person because he thinks they're complete lunatics or they're so foul-mouthed or they're so crazy or they stir up hatreds or whatever the heck.
Mm-hmm.
He just said, no, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to do that. So it's his responsibility as well.
But here's the interesting thing that's not been revealed, and nor will they reveal it over there at El Dorado, and I understand that. You know, they said Rush Limbaugh lost 100 advertisers, which, I say is remarkable. I mean, there's not a radio station in this market that has 100 advertisers, so that's just amazing to begin with. But let's say you have the local advertisers, the local sponsors. And so the question then becomes, do the local sponsors say, I'm going to bail out of this because I was offended by what Rush Limbaugh said? And if he doesn't have local advertisers bailing out, then he's not compelled in any way to say, I'm going to change this. And I say again, if Rush Limbaugh is, sadly with Rush Limbaugh is he's an entertainer, I'll go along with that, he's an entertainer, but he's also an entertainer whose political agenda puts him, and whose ability at dealing with his political agenda, puts him really in a very important spot to the Republican Party. I mean, he's as much of the voice of the Republican Party as Mitt Romney is. And so then when you have that situation and then the guy stoops to what he said to that girl, then you're like, well, where does this fall? I mean, I have to admit, it's a head scratcher to me. I don't listen to Rush, but then again, I don't listen to
people. Well, the Republican Party is also in a position of choice. They could get on the soapbox and say, that's it. We are divorcing Rush. We think he's a nincompoop. We'll have nothing to do with him. He crossed the line. He doesn't represent us. We deny him. Instead, they just kept quiet and say a thing. So the public says, oh, well, the Republican Party doesn't have a problem with what Rush said or did. No big.
But then you have Don Imus, who also made a huge faux pas here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he did, and the station manager fired him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, that was a choice.
Well, no, that's not true. He was suspended.
Well, suspended, but
you know,
I mean, he was punished for what he said. But that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was the choice of the whoever owned that
Right, but this that's very strange also to me. You know, when Keith Olbermann was Keith Olbermann suspended one time, it's like a kindergarten class almost. You know,
Keith Olbermann, poor dear, can't seem to hold a job.
No, these days he can't. But what I'm saying though is if these people say something that you think is out of line, then these are adult people. You call them into your office and say, you know what? I employ you, and I personally found what you said offensive, and other people did, obviously, also. So I'm going to ask you to apologize and not do it again. But to suspend somebody is, like, weird. It's like if the general manager of this station said, gee, Bill, I heard something I didn't like. I'm going to go, you can't come to work tomorrow. And, like, what? What? You know, that's nonsensical to me.
Well, it's a public punishment. It's like...
The public punishment should be apologizing.
In front of the class with a dunce cap on your head.
I guess.
Make you mind your manners better.
I guess.
All of this comes down to choices by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Rush Limbaugh chose to do what he did and say what he said. Station managers chose to do nothing. Listeners chose to either listen or not. The Republican Party chose to say nothing. I mean, everybody along the way made choices.
Well, that's why I bring up Rush Limbaugh in particular, because of his position with the Republican Party, is that if it was somebody else and you just dismissed it as the guy's an entertainer,
right?
I'd go, okay, yeah, you can just... I mean, look at Howard Stern. Howard Stern's not political. He's just filthy. And so people either say, I like that,
right.
I like Glenn Howard, I don't like it.
The opposite, everyone they brought into the discussion, Bill Maher.
Right.
He's a comedian.
Right.
He's an entertainer. You can love him or hate him, but he is not hooked at the hip as a spokesperson type thing to the conservative party the way Rush is.
And
I mean, Rush goes to the CPAC conference as a headline speaker, and, you know, he's intimately involved. And that makes him a different kettle of fish.
But it's like the people, you hear these politicians, or not new politicians, news people, news organizations, news people, what's his name from CNN, the white-haired guy?
Oh, Wolf Blitzer.
No, not Wolf Blitzer, the young guy.
Oh, yeah.
Him. So he did a ridiculous list thing, and he was criticizing what they had said on The Daily Show. And it's like you sort of don't get it. You don't have the right to try to be funny and make jokes about the news, and they do. That's what they are there to lampoon the news.
Yeah.
And that's what they do, and they do it as totally entertainment. They're not trying to say here we're trying to create a news story or we're trying to, you know, do anything with it. They're just lampooning stuff. Well, a newsman doesn't have that opportunity. He just does not have the same opportunity. And if he wants to have the opportunity, get out of the news game and get in the comedy game.
Well, since, you know, the cable, the rise of the cables, we have so blurred the idea of news and infotainment. It's newsytainment.
Yeah, really.
And so if you really want news, go look at, say, Al Jazeera or BBC. You know, and you can see the difference entirely. And then so much of cable isn't really news. It's opinionating.
That's why, you know, I get frustrated with an AP these days. And of course, the Tribune uses AP a lot. And so I get frustrated with the fact that every news story, they start off like they're writing a novel. This has become the new thing to do if you're a reporter, I guess. And I have no use for it. I want to just know what the story's about. And so that's why, and a lot of people have always looked at me kind of cross-eyed when I say the one paper that I go to every day to read so that I don't have to go through all that drama is the Christian Science Monitor.
Well, they're probably the gold standard.
Or you can go to the Wall Street Journal and look at their news. But I use the Christian Science Monitor because they cover more stuff.
Yeah.
Without all the business stuff.
I think the Statesman has supposedly gotten good marks for just really straight, you know, in-depth reporting. There's good reporting out there, but it's become so blurry that it's really hard to separate fact from fiction.
And here's what's sad. AP, you know, and I've been at a radio station where we had ABC News. I've been at one that had AP News. I've been at one that had UPI News. We're at CBS here. For the most part, I say to myself, you know, these people do a pretty darn good job and gathering this news and putting it together. But unfortunately, the wire services, I guess, in effort to compete with all this other new stuff that's going on, you know, like channel, pay-per-view and all these kind of stations, that they... cable news, that they have gotten into this, I'm going to write a novel about this story and then finally get to the meat of the story. And it's foolishness to me. It doesn't have anything to do with what they are, or at least it's not what they used to be. I'll say it that way.
Well, part of it's the drama. We got to get the hook, get the reader really quick, make it all very dramatic. A lot of that drama stuff used to be the New York Times was what was it known as the left, that column one, that went on, that went spent 47,000 words about some poor soul, and it was all very dramatized and human interest kind of stuff. And the rest was just like straight news reporting. That's changed an awful lot.
And that's
the whole
why
thing is changing so enormously from when we were whippersnappers.
Well, here's the other thing, too. This is why I think that the way they format these news shows, the talk shows in the morning, Good Morning America and Today and all that, I think they do that very well. They will have people and interview them that are newsworthy.
Right.
But they basically still, but they're not trying to say, I'm doing a news interview. They don't make it, they don't pretend to be doing that. And when they do the news, they turn it over to somebody that's just doing the news.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a very good approach that they do it that way. If you go back to the old Dave Garraway days and stuff, they had to sort of entertain and be the news person.
Yeah.
But of course, it was brand new.
A lot of the news can be given to you in just little headline clumps.
Right.
One of the problems with that is people lack context. And so you get a snippet of something.
But that's
then it just floats in the netherworld, and you have no idea how to connect it with other things going on.
But that's what the news wires used to be, Ann. And so,
they were originally who, what, where, when, why.
That's it. Right.
Move on to the next one.
That's right. And what we did, in stations where we had news people, and we had a legitimate news department, they did local news. They just concentrated on local news, and then we ripped and read the state news.
Right.
And then we let the network take care of national news.
Yeah.
And so we had a system that I think was very sound, but when we were doing the rip and read state news, again, just exactly what you said. It was a little chunk of who, what, when, where, why, and then if you wanted to hear more about it, you would hear more about it on the network.
Yeah. But like I say, a lot of what goes missing nowadays is any kind of deeper background that enables people to understand what's going on in a fuller way.
Mm-hmm.
They get little snippets and then they somehow form opinions about the snippet, and it's a lot of stuff missing. And it makes for very kind of uninformed citizenry.
Well, once again, I want to say I desperately would like to have either Dan Blackburn or Karen Vealey on tomorrow so we could talk about this whole issue that's in the paper. I would really wish they were here. I will see if I can get Dan Blackburn even to call in. I'll find out if I can get that done.
Yeah, it's tempest in a teapot, and the Trib, of course, is taking great pleasure in sticking pins in.
Yeah, sure.
Sticking pins in Gal Coast News, because
sure.
Gal Coast News has been scooping the Trib right, left, and sideways.
Yep.
So that's what it really comes down to, is a neener, neener, gotcha. And, again, the critical part is just knowing you got to pull on your big boy panties and just walk a very, very, very careful line.
All right, Ann. I thank you very much for calling.
Bye.
Okay, take care. All right, now this is interesting because, here's what it was I was going to tell you. So here are the family relative things, people that are down in Pismo, are the Peppercorns. And I said, these unusual names are kind of fun. But here, this lady that's written this book, The Homework Monsters, last name is Culpepper.
Are you picking up the kids from school and you're
Pepper.
Bracing yourself for the homework battle to begin? The Homework Monster is a book created for kids to inspire to get their homework done before it accumulates into monstrous proportions. Local writer and mother Karen Culpepper knows well the struggle to get her own kids to do their homework each night. If 2 hours of arguing to get 15 minutes of homework done sounds familiar, then I suggest you go online to thehomeworkmonster.com to pick up a copy of this book. The Homework Monster has a comic book feel to it, and the story is told in a fun and creative way to ensure that even the resistant reader will love it. I promise you will love it too. That's thehomeworkmonster.com, or email thehomeworkmonster@yahoo.com for more information. Thehomeworkmonster.com.
Enter to win a free copy of The Homework Monster by texting the word homework to 64636. That's homework to 64636 right now.
Hi, I'm Michael, manager of the Natural Foods Co-op in San Luis Obispo. We are a non-corporate, community-owned grocery store that offers a healthy, alternative place to shop. At the Natural Foods Co-op, you'll find local organic produce and local pasture-raised meats, as well as organic grocery and bulk items. We have a large supplement section, as well as a bulk herb department with over 250 items. In the 37 years we've been in business, our goal has been to provide high-quality, healthy foods and supplements at the lowest prices possible. We have a friendly, knowledgeable staff that can help you with all your questions. Co-op members enjoy a discount at the register and better prices on special orders. However, we are open to the public and a membership is not required to shop. Come by and check us out at 745 Francis Avenue, right off Broad Street in San Luis Obispo, or give us a call at 544-7928. We're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 7, closed on Sundays. Mention this ad and we'll give you a free t-shirt with your groceries. Natural Foods Co-op of San Luis Obispo. Everyone can shop, anyone can join.
That's right, and they're right there on Broad Street, so you can go right there and get your chow. You know what? Let's do this one first because we're not gonna be here Sunday, and we need to get our Titanic on. My heart will go on right there. What a fun story we had yesterday about James Horner writing this sort of surreptitiously because James Cameron said he didn't want to have any vocals in the movie. And so he wrote it surreptitiously, went to Vegas, got Celine Dion to record it. Two takes, it was all it took her. And then when he was feeling that James Cameron was in a really good mood, you could see he might be kind of a moody guy. So then he played it for him. And he said, well, I got to have that. That's good. It's a beautiful song. All right, and James Horner. I mean, he's written a number of different movies, and of course he also wrote for Avatar. The guy of all times is John Williams, but you know, James Horner is very, very good. Maybe it's just with James Cameron, I don't know, but his soundtracks really, really enhance the movie that you're watching. In this case, it made it even more depressing than it was that the dang ship sank. Okay? Yeah. Ship sank. Hey. Now, I don't know for sure if this will... Hey. See if this will work for me.
That's in charge of saving the government cash sent employees...
Okay, now wait. This is the GSA that spent 5 days in Hawaii for 1 hour of work and spent $850,000.
First, it was the $800,000 Vegas junket and the embarrassing videos that followed. Now we're learning that the GSA, the agency that's in charge of saving the government cash, sent employees to Hawaii for 5 days for a grand total of, drumroll please, 1 hour's worth of work. There was a ribbon cutting on a lease space. It was all revealed in this transcript that came from the House and Transportation Infrastructure Committee that employees spent 5 days in Hawaii for this one ribbon cutting ceremony, complete apparently with snorkeling in the morning because they had some free time. Also revealed that the GSA paid as much as $330,000 to move one employee from Denver to Hawaii, and that was an employee who would quit later, a year later. So I believe that actually you're going to see more of these little bits and pieces coming out because...
That they were on Hawaii time. 1 hour's work in a week of Hawaii, that is highly productive.
Yeah. I've been very true, Will.
I say that lovingly.
Now we know where all the money they're saving is going.
Snorkeling lessons, clearly, obviously.
Oh, this is just the anti-government lobby's Christmas gift come early. And, you know, Halliburton may have ripped off taxpayers for millions, but at least they had the good taste not to film it.
Yes, well, I will agree.
Anyway, it just was extremely strange, the whole thing. 850 grand of sushi was involved and other crazy things. And so it's just beyond the pale, as they say. And other things are going on in our world. You're with Bill. It's 8 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock. Let me give you phone numbers in case you want to buzzer it in. 786-2578. That's 786-2578. And 1-866-937-1340. Let me remind you, you can go to calcoastnews.com in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see Talk is Cheap. It just says that because they have a little bio of me. But the real purpose of that is you can stream KYNS anytime, anywhere on your computer by just clicking on that, and there'll be another thing you click on. And so let me warn you, this will happen. You'll have a 30-second Lowe's commercial. I guess they sponsor the streaming, huh? And then whatever show you want to listen to, you can listen to. Okay. All right. Well, obviously this whole second-degree murder thing with Zimmerman in Florida is playing itself out. He's going to stay. He's going to remain in jail because we didn't think he had $1 million. And we'll see where it goes. There was another thing here, though, that I wanted to click on because I was trying to say, what the heck is this? Okay. Let me share the story with you, if I may. Why does Warren Buffett still have a secretary? I don't know. Don't a lot of people have secretaries that are important and do work? If the word secretary doesn't conjure up an image for you, just run a quick Google image search. The pencil in the mouth and a recurring motif. As are beaming women in headsets seated in front of computers, images are abound of women in low-cut blouses, legs crossed under the skirts alongside headshots of Secretaries of State Madeleine Albright and Hillary Clinton. Women of Mad Men hold their ground next to bondage shots of Maggie Gyllenhaal from the movie Secretary. Given its culture baggage, the term secretary has been jettisoned over the past three decades. It's why we won't be celebrating a professional secretary day on April 25th, but rather Administrative Professionals Day, retiring the term made way for the administrator, assistant, and support staff of today. It's tucked away with the word stewardess. Okay. I don't know because we don't have anybody that would fall in the term secretary at the radio stations ever. we never had that. So you say, Bill, how could you not know that the word went away? I never used it. I never had any use for it. But I watched My Little Margie and whatnot, and I saw secretaries. So I didn't know that we weren't doing that. And it's interesting because I had no reason to ever use the word anyway. So, yes, we live in a strange broadcasting cocoon, where there's certain things that happen here, and that's as far as we go. We don't stick our head out and find anything else because it bothers us. All right. Other things that are happening in our world. Other things that are going on. All right. We got a drop, but we need a bucket. At 42% now, Central Coast needs 70% of normal rainfall to put a dent in the moderate drought. So we're not doing that great, but it's wet. It's wet. And then Jobs illegally fixed ebook prices, U.S. says. So this is the thing you do. You commit a crime, and then you pass away. That's what that mafia guy did. Okay. That's how they do it. But he passed away before they could actually nail him. Now, this is interesting right here, because I was just playing this song the other day. I really like the song. It's 12 minutes, at least, the song. It's November Rain by Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses. Well, Axl Rose, he had an acrimonious breakup with his band, and so they wanted to induct him and his band into the Hall of Fame, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he said, no thanks. Okay, that's how mad he still is. Now, he's still touring with a kind of reconstituted version of Guns N' Roses, but not the original guys. Jennifer Lopez, Mark Anthony make it official, the divorce thing's going. Jimmy Buffett will replace Pearl Jam singer and guitarist Eddie Vedder in the May 3rd lineup at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Vedder canceled when he postponed his U.S. solo tour because of nerve damage in his arm stemming from a back injury earlier this year. Buffett is a Jazz Fest veteran who has built an empire based largely on such Caribbean-flavored rock hits as Wasting Away in Margaritaville and Wasting Away in Margaritaville. Stan Lee arrives at the premiere of The Avengers on Wednesday in L.A. The Avengers will be released on theaters May 4th. I mean, here's a look at what this man's created over his lifetime, Stan Lee. Yowzer. There's nothing coming close. Now this story was on the CNN yesterday, but I didn't get to it. But it's in the paper today. Police in Lubbock, Texas, are keeping close tabs on a young entrepreneur recently opened a cleaning service that offers nude maids. Lubbock Police Sergeant Jonathan Stewart said the owner of the Fantasy Maid Service of Lubbock doesn't have a permit to operate a sexually oriented business, and officers are watching for any violation, which would bring a $2,000 fine. It has to be the way you hold the vacuum, I guess. But owner Melissa Barrett insists she's not operating such a business. Customers pay $100 an hour for one maid or $150 an hour for two, and there's no touching allowed. I ran a maid service. We really just clean houses. These girls are not performers. They're maids. Okay. Yeah, why not? Okay. The world gone mad. Because you remember the founding fathers, as they were sitting there at the Constitutional Convention, said, on the First Amendment thing, we should have women that can clean house and be naked. You could hire them. We should have that. Because that's freedom of speech or expression, or whatever it is. It's supposed to be just freedom of speech, but it became expression. Okay. In a heist that could fill the mother of all bottomless cups, thieves in Austria have made off with 2 tons of coffee. Police say the culprits broke into a wholesaler and coffee roaster's warehouse east of Vienna, loaded a stolen van, and drove away. Police statement issued Tuesday said the value of the vehicle and its contents is around $72,000. Now, if you're in a neighborhood and you hear a coffee grinder running day and night, for over a week, a month, perhaps a half a year of a ton of coffee, you might become suspicious and call the authorities and say, I think I may have found the 2 tons of coffee that are missing. That's a lot of coffee to grind. ABC hints at the B word in 2 new shows about women. Now, we know what it'd be, the B word would be. They're saying, no, it doesn't stand for that. It stands for bells, like B-E-L-L-E-S, like, Bell of the Ball, that it stands for bells. not for everything. And why not? We have nude maids. We have a world that's gone mad. And so we might as well have the B word on TV again. Because it's no worse, really, can I be honest with you? It's no worse whatsoever than try to explaining to your youngsters some of the ads that come on TV and they say, this is what this does. And you're and sit there in horror knowing that they're going to turn to you and go, what does that do? And who does it do it to?
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The neighborhood watch volunteer who shot and killed an unarmed black teenager made his first court appearance this afternoon.
I'm Peter King in Sanford. George Zimmerman is staying in jail for now.
You will be set for formal arraignment with Judge Rex Seidler, not before, but on May the 29th, 1:30, courtroom 1A.
Defense attorney Mark O'Mara says he decided not to ask for bond a couple of hours before the hearing.
Just didn't make sense. With where the case is now, with my client's status, and quite honestly, with the attempt to truly calm this case down rather than demand a presentation of evidence which might only increase the fervor around the case.
Zimmerman is charged with second-degree murder for a shooting he says was in self-defense. Peter King, CBS News, Sanford.
Zimmerman's expected to plead not guilty at his arraignment next month. John Edwards is a courtroom veteran, but not as the defendant. CBS's Jim Krasula says jury selection is underway in the former presidential candidate's Greensboro, North Carolina trial.
Wearing a crisp navy blue suit, former two-time presidential candidate John Edwards nodded and smiled as a federal judge introduced him to more than 100 potential jurors. Edwards arrived for the start of his trial on charges of misusing campaign money. With his parents and oldest daughter, Kate, Edwards is accused of using nearly $1 million and contributions to hide an affair and the baby girl from that affair.
If convicted, Edwards faces up to 30 years in prison. A Pennsylvania judge has turned down a defense motion to throw out child sex abuse charges against former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky, rejecting the argument that the statute of limitations may have run out for 8 of the 10 alleged victims. Sandusky's denied allegations he abused 10 boys over 15 years. The international community is keeping watch on a fragile truce in Syria.
I'm Cammie McCormick at the State Department. G8 foreign ministers have wrapped up their meetings in Washington, and Syria was at the top of their agenda.
We welcomed Joint Special Envoy Kofi Annan's report that the violence in Syria, at least for the moment, has abated.
Secretary of State Clinton pointed out, though, that Assad's forces have not pulled back from populated areas.
The Annan plan is not a menu of options. It is a set of obligations.
Clinton said Assad cannot pick and choose which portions to abide by.
It looked like a snowstorm hit north of Amarillo, Texas. Potter County Sheriff Brian Thomas.
The biggest thing was just having to shut down the whole highway between Amarillo and Dumas. That's not something we normally do because of hail, especially because you got 2 to 4 feet of hail on the road.
Drifts up to 4 feet high left motorists stranded. We're just getting word of a shooting at a Coast Guard station on Alaska's Kodiak Island. Officials say 2 people are dead. At the close on Wall Street, the Dow was up 173 points, NASDAQ up 40. This is CBS News.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell you parts. No, we work to bring you deals on parts. Like right now, when you buy any Autolite spark plug wires, we'll give you a set of Autolite Platinum spark plugs valued up to $24 free. At Advance, we get you the parts you need fast. And then sometimes we give you free stuff. As if fast wasn't sweet enough. Service is our best part. See store for details.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So, listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Everydoor direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit USPS.com/mail to learn more.
Oh, one more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone seen my cat?
She sold 450 million copies of the Harry Potter book, so J.K. Rowling may find that's a tough act to follow.
J.K. Rowling's first diversion into adult fiction is described as a black comedy called The Casual Vacancy. It's centered around the death of the character Barry Fairweather, This shocks the local villages of Padford, described as an idyllic English town with a cobble market square. But the publisher says it's a town at war. Rowling's first post-Harry Potter effort will be published in September as e-book, hardback, audio download, and CD. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
A baby watch is on at the world's largest aquarium. Maris, a beluga whale, is expecting a new calf at the Georgia Aquarium by mid-June. She got pregnant naturally, which is rare for whales in captivity. After the 14-month-long pregnancy, there will be the swish-swish of giant fins. Officials say the baby could weigh 50 pounds. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
At Quicken Loans, we close many of our home loans in 30 days or less. But if you work with someone other than Quicken Loans, you might be dealing with a lender that takes a lot longer. Here's an analogy. I ordered a pizza 4 hours ago that should have arrived in 30 minutes or less. Think of my cold, unappetizing pizza as a mortgage from a lender that doesn't care about closing loans quickly.
Here's your pizza, dude.
You should end here a lot sooner.
Who do you think I am? Quicken Loans?
The choice is clear. A mortgage from a lender that takes forever to close your loan, or a piping hot mortgage from Quicken Loans that arrives fresh at your door in as quick as 30 days or less. One more way, Quicken Loans is engineered to amaze. The rate today on a 30-year fixed mortgage is an incredible 3.99%. APR 4.22%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or go to quickenloans.com.
Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License to open to state. Nationwide licensing number 33.
Oaks Care Center. Caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks. Owned and operated by John and Sherry King. They're friends of mine. Really nice friends. And that niceness shows in the 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance. And we'll do the paperwork for you. Both physical, occupational, speech, interval, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow instant coffee. From Lurie to their annual full participation in the Santa Maria Elks Lurie Parade, the Haines are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for loved ones that you care about.
California is number one in a lot of things. Surfing. Why? We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so get a Farmers agent like Wright to call
at 541-3942. Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurance in California.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and a store promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Andy, Shoshana, and their entire crew at Mike's wear new other stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people, in the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find that you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes, at Southside Promenade.
Jeep, 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 Jeep. You're the back to talk to Jeep friends in the original kind of thing, 2 4 KLM insurance station. And I thank you for joining me today. Phone number is 786-2578. That's 786-2578 or 1-866-937-1340. Wait, we got, I didn't know it was a whole world of art page here. There is, they've got all kinds of stories. Here's what I was going to tell you about. You're very familiar with the Scream by Edvard Munch, are you not? The guy's holding his hand here a bit and he's screaming and he looks funny. It looks kind of like a, let's see, looks like a sperm detection. Anyway, they expect to fetch $80 million for this guy right here. It's at Sotheby's. Simon Shaw, Sotheby's, New York, where the piece will go into the hammer on May 2nd, said the screamer was the second most famous work of art in the world after the Mona Lisa. Copies of the painting appeared on everything from postcards and umbrellas to mouse mats. The image inspired West Craven's Scream film franchise and was referenced in posters for the Home Alone movie starring Macaulay Culkin. And so it's been a long time. So there it is. We don't even know he's screaming about, but I don't think, do we? Anyway, I have four versions. Three are in public collections in Oslo, and of those, two have been stolen in the past 20 years. Half of these cases, the workers recovered the status of the world's most stolen work of art. That's only added to the celebrity. So this one is one that was done in, you're going to say, well, there's four of them? What's the deal on that? I don't know. This one was painted in the 1890s. And only one stolen private hands. So there's framed in a funny little wood frame. But then going down here, you find out all kinds of other stuff. Rediscover Cezanne is up for sale. Museum discovers a new Van Gogh. A painting dismissed for years, the work of an unknown artist has been identified as a piece by Vincent Van Gogh after X-ray tests. Lost Leonardo masterpiece found? Question mark. Leonardo da Vinci mural unseen since the 16th century may have been found hidden behind a Florentine fresco painted by another artist. Apparently, canvas was expensive stuff back then. You know what I'm saying? Because people were painting over all kinds of things. Say anything else? The world-famous ghost altarpiece. No, that's not it. Let me try again. The world-famous Ghent altarpiece.
completed in 1432 can now be viewed on the specially designed open source website in 100 billion pixels. Nobody else is not buying the new one we have this stuff. All this RC stuff. Okay, that's it right there. That was the RC Tarsy stuff that I thought I showed you. Alright, let me hear. They have an article in the paper that's kind of interesting. And here's what it say. Here's what it talks about. Secondary murder hinges on Prairie Wine. This is, of course, we're talking George Lynn. Florida, some prosecutor, Angela Corey, has appealed to apply to people in George Lynn that acted with a malicious intent requiring a victim of secondary murder and the death of 7-year-old after 1 month. Experts also expect Zimmerman's new lawyer, Mark O'Mara, to rely on the state's standard ground self-defense law and try to have the murder charges dismissed by a judge without a trial. So that's what it's done. You have to have the stockholder start the fight. Anyway, what they're saying is that you have to show the other brave money. That's not hard. Any point in any direction, this radio station will find one. Any direction. And there's going to be one somebody on that finger. It's like, woohoo! Alright, other things are going on. I will play a Richard Fairbanks going to play an episode on about the hour at 1:30 because April, what is it, 16th, is tax day this year. And they have a story about that too. Alright, but here's the thing. Remember I told you this. I told you this. I was told by somebody who told me to tell you this. You won a lottery, stay anonymous. That's what it says. Multi-million-dollar jackpot is one, and I can't help but feel a touch of sympathy and admiration for the winners, especially the three from Maryland. It's hard to be unaffected by the circus of speculation surrounding them. The rampant jealousy by those commenting is palpable. The question, is like feeding a frenzy. Everyone wants to know how a winner will spend the money. Everyone speculates on how they will spend what they want. It's the ongoing conversation on the water cooler with a heated argument about taking a lump sum required payments. And it's also very familiar. So they say down here, we should wait a while and pass some time that allows for reflection after we have lobby winners or are slain or committed suicide or bankrupt and see if the Maryland trio had it all figured out. So they did say, honestly, they did consult financial people and lawyers and things. Let us join on the phone with this party.
Hey, good boy, how are you?
Hey, my gosh, your birthday, man.
That's nice. It was very nice. Thank you very kindly.
Do you hear what you and your wife doing something special again? Because you both had a birthday. I think you're married, just so you wouldn't have to try to remember your birthday.
We're just trying to forget the age. About the numbers, that's all.
Just look in the mirror. Just look in the mirror, I'll go away.
Yeah, it's a typical point now where you take the two numbers and you add them together and say, okay, that's how it
is. I still use halves, you know what I'm saying?
They're halves.
I've got 63 and a half.
I can understand that with the IQ, but if you use the rest of it, I don't think the mirror would agree with
me. Okay, I've done our usual. Let's try to diss the other person when he calls. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I was calling up because you had earlier the theme from Titanic.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let you know that James Cameron is building a studio and a personal residence in New Zealand now so that he can be close to Weta, which was the gentleman who received the King Vidor Award. That is his special effects studio in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I was sure of that. And then the other thing was kind of similar news, but it wasn't quite as exciting as yours, is that George Lucas has decided not to build the thing he wanted to build Marine because the Marine people hated him for it.
Yeah, well, I think they're a little tired of
it. Could be, you know.
Yeah.
A little funny sounds going on this part.
Yeah, well, you know, when Lucas originally, when he purchased that property, so there was nothing anywhere around in Marine, but now there's multi-million-dollar homes around him and stuff, so the people around him might not have as much power as him individually, but they put them all together, and they're doing pretty darn good.
You know, radio plays a part in all this. I don't know if you know this or not, but I forget which weapon it was. in the original Star Wars series, but one of the weapons that was used quite often, that sound came from, they took a metal bar and whacked a wire that held up a radio station tower, you know, that could hit the tower.
Oh, that was the original,
lightsabers, right?
Yeah.
I knew it was something
that had that rule, but it slapped it together and stuff, yeah.
I need one of them.
Yeah, but I told you a while back that Richard Taylor was the Walt Disney of special effects, and I think that James Cameron believes it. He's moving a whole bunch over there to.
That's just me. That's a movie guy over here. He's a.
It probably would be easier, except that the guy won't talk.
So we assume James Cameron's working on Avatar 2. Am I right or wrong about that?
Avatar 2 and 3.
Oh, you're going to do it. That's how they did Back to the Future, remember?
Right, right.
They filmed at the same time.
Yeah, and that at last count, there are either 12 or 15 projects. His studio are working on right now, and where the studios are working on right now. And Cameron has a few different things into the fires as well. So, I guess he's seeing the future is the CGI and the actual 3D effect stuff that he's. It's better to be there, close to the subject.
I really do find it absolutely amazing, and it speaks to me, I've said this to you before, it speaks to me so highly of the people that are doing the acting, when they're sitting in front of a green screen, what is it, blue screen, green screen, some color screen, what is it?
Green screen. They used to use a blue screen, but the blue screen was too difficult to work with too many times, so now it's a green screen.
Yeah, but here they have to act out all these things they're doing, you know, without having anything to have in their hands, or they're not straddling a flying thing.
Right, but the one thing that they do have is they have kind of it's so hard to explain. Technical whiz on this kind of stuff, but you know how they did Avatar, how they took the actors and they dressed them up and had them actually doing the parts of the creatures and stuff, and the same thing for the guy that was the people that were the main apes for the guy from the Planet of the Apes.
Did you see that movie, by the way, is it?
Yeah.
Really good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, right. I wanted to see that.
Then the other the new thing is that when it comes to creatures and things along that line that are the size of people are a little bit larger and stuff, what they're doing is they're actually dressing people up, and then the computer captures all the movement and all this kind of stuff and translates it automatically into the basic form of the creature. And so the people are able to work with the actual creatures in the situations instead of having to have everything a green screen so that you could work everything into it. And so it's really good. Like when they were doing all that stuff on Rise of the Planet of the Apes, they're doing a bunch of work on the with the reproduction of the Golden Gate Bridge. And all of that was actually done on this, made-up Golden Gate Bridge. And it really made a world of difference. And you can kind of tell that the actors were much better off interacting with the people that were going to eventually be the apes than just looking at what essentially was a tennis ball or a target that they would react to.
You know, it's interesting. I remember that years ago Stanley Kubrick said that the reason that he thought the apes in 2001 did not win the Best Makeup Award is because the people thought they were real apes.
Right. chambers, one for makeup, for basically inventing foam latex, which is what they use for, you know, 9 out of 10 of the makeup special effects that they have on people now. And he was the one that did Planet of the Apes, the original one.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I have to say, though, that if you, even if you look at that movie today, if you look at that movie today, and they found real skinny little guys, and it was very well done.
It was, but you realize that the size of the arms didn't adjust with the actual size of Apes' arms.
Which nowadays, of course, they used to on a computer.
They actually have a... this is a weird thing. They have a contraption that is like an extension of your hand that you hold in your hand, and it gives you another, I think it was like 16, 18 inches. So they're actually working the hand just like their own hand, but it's a gadget at the end of the hand.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really something. And with all the puppeteer stuff and the things, you know, I mean, Jim Henson started out with that, with the simplistic things, but then he did a movie called Dark Crystal that was just really way ahead of its time. And but there's a lot of movies that you're going to see this summer if you check out movies. The Hunger Games, my son and I just saw Tuesday, and it was really good. It was really good, now when we go to the movies, we always have to stay after to see who the people were in the CGI and lighting effects and all the other different things, and it's really amazing the things that they do that you don't even realize and just take it for granted.
And here, this is Ish. I know you're going to kick out of this. These Three Stooges got a three-star, three-ticket rating in the Ticket magazine. And Jim D said that it's, he said it's really cute. He says it's just like watching Three Stooges again. So it's a little brown and boring, but it's fun. And he said that he enjoyed it. So anyway, so I guess he saw previews. Then there's another one here called Checking the Cabin in the Woods. That's a four-ticketer. Guy Pearce takes out a part of an action hero in Lockout, where he's trying to rescue a girl from a prison. And Guy Pearce, you know, I mean, he became prominent in L.A. Confidential, I guess. And he's a good actor.
Yeah, he also did the remake of The Time Machine, which was called that
I don't think it was because of his acting, to tell you the truth.
It was poor writing.
How many times can you do The Time Machine and not finally poop it out?
Right. Well, the lockdown is the part that you missed in that. It is a prison in outer space.
Oh, in outer space.
Yeah, and they're threatening to crash it into the Earth.
God, these bad guys, what do they think of next?
But there are going to be some really there's going to be a year of a lot of special effects and stuff. There's going to be a new Batman movie. Avengers is coming out in just a few weeks.
Who's going to star in the Batman movie?
Yeah, no, it's going to be the same guy. This is his last movie.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yeah. And then at the end of the year, and this is where the real, you know, the real geeks of the sci-fi world are coming in, is the first installment of The Hobbit.
Well, that's right. The Hobbit's coming in. That's right. Primarily. Very interesting. You know what's weird is I have a little nephew who's 10 years old, and he absolutely adored all Harry Potter stuff. And yet... I can't get him to watch the Happy Ring thing. What is it, Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings.
He doesn't watch it. He's seen years.
Some people are just they feel that it goes too slow and stuff. I guess for some kids to do.
That's one thing I noticed about kids.
For me, the Harry Potter series, I really enjoyed it, except the next to the last one.
I didn't like that either.
I thought that one was as confusing as it could be. And only made to
people spend all the time in the woods just looking at each other and going,
what happens in this movie? Anything? You know, the kids online, they get it, you know, about people standing in the woods being scared to death and looking at each other.
Yeah, well, that same stupid look that they had looking at each other in the woods, that was the same look I had looking at my wife after we were leaving.
That's very funny. All right, I'm gonna take a break, Mikey. I want you to listen to this next, as an infomercial, I guess, is, because, you know, in case things don't work out for you, what you're doing now, this is a high-paced, exciting job, I can tell you that.
Okay, go.
All right, Mike, thank you, sir.
I do also.
Okay, bye.
You're creative. You've got bright, innovative ideas, but it seems like the radio group you work for isn't paying attention, right? Why not take that talent where it can be appreciated and put to good and profitable use?
Well,
Radio Central Coast family of stations are looking for you, a broadcast media consultant who loves their job because no day is ever the same. Radio Central Coast is a leader in helping local businesses succeed, and we're looking for you, a seasoned radio media consultant ready to help these local businesses grow. We offer a fantastic salary, and that's right, a salary, not a cutthroat commission plan, and best of all, a fun, creative environment where our clients are the stars. The only thing we want are radio professionals ready to take their career to the next level. If this sounds like you, send an email to Aaron at RadioCentralCoast.com or give them a call at 786-2570. This is it. Fun, excitement, creative, the career you always dreamed of. Make the change and join the professionals at Radio Central Coast.
Welcome back. Say about 50 years. Still waiting and waiting to see the air condition San Luis Obispo Hill friends the 7 million news and then the GPS. They sure did. The GPS, great personal service. Before long, everybody expected their own GPS. It wasn't guaranteed unless they called Still Waiting at 1-800-549-4881. To this day, when you need great personal service on heating, air conditioning, refrigeration, or you realize you have mucked up ducts and need help with a healthy air system, call Still Waiting at 781-2574 and show dispatch a tax alert. Stay to spot or even quicker. We needed help yesterday. White has been front and center since the early 50s, before we were really cool cars, before Fidel's beard. And just about the time of our light guns, how you might ask kerosene or polyurethane, did White's gain a stellar reputation? Hundreds of satisfied customers started by word of mouth. Where else would this come from? Keep the outside out and inside in. Call Snow White at 1-800-549-4881. And White's GPS with heating, air, and refrigeration will help you live happily ever after. The end. Hey, Money, don't get money for their checks. Now, here's something they said people make mistakes. This is just something they said over here. They say about all kinds of questions, should know, extensions, and all your extension goals. But here's the thing they say. Income and tax time are goofs. Incorrect or missing social security numbers. You really have to have that. You really need it. Incorrect spelling of dependent's last name. You really have to have that. Filing status errors. Choose the correct filing status for your situation. There are five filing statuses. Single married filing, jointly married filing, separately, or head of household, and qualifying widow or widower. Depends on. Math errors, of course, you know. So I have some of my taxes. I have a calculator. That doesn't even finger to the water. Careless errors. Take your time. Many taxpayers make mistakes when figuring their tax income. Withholding an estimate to tax income because they didn't try to get them. Incorrect bank account numbers for direct deposit. That'll get in trouble. You're going to sign an 8th return to the left banker. And then incorrect adjusted gross income. Then you've got to make sure you have the right numbers to it. So that's the things to look out for, besides the fact that okay, now, let's see what else is going on here. Well, you know what was on last night? I watched it last night, too. I watched Betty White's Off the Rockers. And here's what's interesting. It's produced by Betty White. She's not really in it. I mean, she's in it, sort of, but not really. What they do is they take these older people, older actors and actresses, and they have them do these outrageous, weird things to young people. Unsuspecting, you know, like, just weird stuff. So, like, there's an old lady had a guy hold. She said, could you hold these for me, these eggs? And she says, I got to take some out because I can't eat a dozen eggs. I don't need a dozen eggs for it. She starts throwing them over her shoulder on the floor. It's funny. But here's something to comment that, you know, if after a certain number of shows, people are going to start to recognize these people. Adding the mustache on them and all that. They make the old eggs all men they blow them. I wish Betty White was somehow more directly involved in it, but anyway. My wife and I sort of met Betty White once. We were at a restaurant, an Italian restaurant, and so she came in, we were sitting right by the door, kind of in a booth. And so she came in, and so she walked over and said, hi, are you the people I'm supposed to be meeting? And I said, no, I'm Bill, this is Nancy. And she said, do you know the people? She said, no. She said, what's her name? Well, what's her name? And she wandered off to wherever else she was supposed to be sitting. Yes, she was wearing blue. You're going to find out and write about this. Teal and blue at a whole blue spectrum thing. She's in the blue thing. She really is. All right. She's only about a foot tall, too. She shrunk. She kind of shrunk, you know what I mean? That happens to you. As you get going along here, you shrink. Now, here's something that I think is really exciting that you want to know about right here. How will you be known in the cyber hereafter? How will you be known? Tombstones prove a reliable enough marker of a person's existence, but what does it tell us, surely, about the dear departed? Norton died, named, and maybe at a time for lack of justice and measure of life. Perhaps there's a better online way of preserving our journeys into the mortal coil. The Live On, a startup based in Kansas City, is among a growing number of companies that are looking to make a business of your virtual afterlife. Live On sees itself as more than Facebook for the dead, rather it hopes to build a narrative of the things that matter in your life that will stick around on the web in your past to the big hard drive in the sky. I really doubt that a lot of people are getting it. Sorry. You can do it. Here's James Smith. Who he did? Okay. Now, here's the thing. This is so frankly, this will there will be no other students to attend college ever again because they'll have this thing now. A new site calculates potential student loan debt. So, you know. Users can plug in details such as grant and scholarship offers to compare what might owe after attending different schools. The site also offers information on graduation student loan default rates. A military benefit calculator function allows the nation's more than 2 million Iraq and Afghanistan vets and others to determine what they could owe after using the GI Bill benefits. Oh, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to use my student readers. Yeah. also a veteran's cabinet about money on that, then you can try to figure out your benefits if you're moving or anything like that. But the interesting thing about it is it just says, okay, this is for this percent disability, this is what you're paying for this percent disability. But they don't tell you this, they don't reveal to you, and the whole thing is in order for you to, let's say, be 90% disabled, your actual disabilities have to add up to about 250%. I know that sounds weird, because what does that mean? Well, it's the VA calculator. It takes all of those numbers and then says, okay, that just became 90%. 270% gets to 90%. It takes well over 300% to be 100% disabled. Well over that. So that's kind of weird. So talking to veterans, I hear people cry when they go, this doesn't seem right. You know why it doesn't seem right? It's not. It's absurd. But hey, as long as we take care of our vets, that's what matters, eh? Okay, nice. I'm not really worried about it at all. After my life, I'm just going to be... My wife, don't put some flowery bowl in the newspaper. You know what I mean? I'm not that nice a guy. Just let it go. You know, bills going out, I don't know what they're. Other things are going on. Did you hear the thing in the news they had? That they're talking about having a thing, and some car makers are doing this automatically. If you hit the brake, the accelerator will automatically come off. So you can't have a stuck accelerator. So you hit the brake. Of course, the people that accidentally think they're hitting the brake and they hit the accelerator ain't going to help them. Or the people in front of them, by the way. So there's nothing to do with that. I just started thinking. All right, what else is going on? First time notice of foreclosure of 70% marks, which is really bad news. I'm sorry to see that. All right, let's see if we have a letter or two we want to talk about. Let's see what they're talking about today. I have such a hard time understanding this that I don't even know what to say. It says look at classrooms for discipline solutions. So they're talking about how many number. Statistics show that 2010-11 school year, kindergarten through 12 students in California have seen more than 700,000 suspensions, more than one for every 10 kids. That said about 40% of suspensions in the state are for offenses described vaguely as willful defiance. That is, I said 35% of suspensions and 39% of expulsions are given to black students, even though only 18% of all schools enroll is black. So maybe they have an attitude, I have no idea. But here's the weird thing. Our lives have changed, as you know. One of the reasons I've always believed is because the rest of the occasion multiplying is just to the people who are climbing all over each other. And for those people that really say this, most people think, boy, this is just heaven on earth. You know? There's a lot fewer people here before. So I really believe that's the case. But then the next thing that always has to be implied by this is, what the heck are the parents doing? Why do you have kids that can, just defy teachers? Why are there so many kids? That's a lot of people. 700,000. Now, when a lot of us were, you stay after school, which is punishment. That was a nasty punishment to just sit there for an hour after school. Everybody was also having a good time. You're sitting and watch the clock tick 60 times around. It's like, oh my God. So that sucked. So, and I know because I did 200 hours after school for one teacher. I didn't have a good attention span, I got attention. But anyway, but worse than that, my father, they disciplined me, and that was always no fun, I can assure you. So it was, of course I was kind of dumb, I didn't know that well, but other kids did, and they didn't have to spend their whole life after school. So, but apparently our kids are now allowed to talk back to teachers and say whatever they want to say, and it's like, I don't have an answer to this. I'm baffled by it. And I'm trying to come up with, I have friends or people that I know that have teenagers. I know have younger kids. They're younger kids. I don't know who's screwing this up. Now, here's another thing that's very interesting about life is on itself on the second coast. On Sunday, Easter, I mean, because it was Easter, I had a bunch of errands all over town and see some people. And at least five times, I said to myself, when I saw a car pull out into a main thoroughfare, at least five times I said, these people won't pull out in front of me, even though they shouldn't, because I'm too close. All five times they didn't. Even when I was back further than I wouldn't even imagine, they didn't. I listened today and said, oh, see, you can't understand something's going wrong out there. The whole polar fields or the magnetic fields don't heal her because people are being polite. Then, yes, I went yesterday and had to run some errands. It was the exact opposite. It's because it was raining and everybody had been parked off or something. It was the exact opposite. We could not believe how many people we saw pull out, not in front of us only, but in front of other people. I mean, it's absurd, the pull riders. It's like, you know, it's just insane. I don't know why we've come to that. I don't understand that. But I have a book that I haven't really read. I just sort of went through it. But I think it's called Why We Drive the Way We Do, or Driving, or something. It's called It's Why We Drive the Way We Do. So I'm going to see if I can look it up. I'm going to see if I can find out. What makes people not yield the right way and say, I screw you, I'm going to pull out even if you have to slam on the brakes and kill yourself. Of course, it always happens to me when my wife is having me transport some food item to someplace. And it's guaranteed. If I'm going to go 5 miles an hour, it's going to end up going somewhere. Alright, there we go. And then right here, this is in light of that column about classroom discipline. Here's disruptive behavior. Joe from Fort Wayne wrote this. He said, well, the article in the April 8th Tribune entitled Suspension of Surge from Random Misbehavior applies to schools in the LA area, but behavior is just as well applied to San Luis Obispo schools. Where do we draw the line on insolent, disruptive, and disrespectful behaviors? It appears that everyone has a position on this matter, other than teachers. I wonder how many of these people have sat in a classroom for months at a time to observe what students are doing. I have. And very much so concerned that those who are suspended more likely to get in trouble with the law while not in school make them serve their suspensions during community service. And I've seen many types of disruptive behaviors in schools in this county, not only for low-income family kids, but for low-income kids as well, and for every race. I want to hear complaints from the parents when kids are often in trouble at school. I didn't see you sit in a classroom watching what the kids were doing. If you don't hold your kids accountable for bad behavior, you are teaching them to be manipulative and dysfunctional. That's it right there. I think too many rats in the kitchen. And of course, we also have the new thing that didn't have before in our lives. That is because of social networking or the computer or whatever we want to do. Something that, the sun rises and sets on each individual child. You know, they're taught to believe that they are the most important thing in the universe and everything else is lesser than they are. Which obviously is going to cause some problems. I think that's how I think. I guess this is a good point, by the way, this letter, because, you know, we did this crazy animal ordinance thing, you know, in case the animal's violent or vicious or, you know, insane. So here's what Mantis from Poland said. Where in the world is wrong with our kind of supervisors? This is what happens when you get this rush of peace on people. You don't use your God-given brains to think things through. Personally, I do not think the fines for aggressive dog behavior are heavy enough. That's something else. What is it now, or is stupid, is passing a law that holds the landlord responsible for a tenant's animal. Looks like the only supervisor who uses his brains was Frank Nietzsche. How can you possibly hold a landlord responsible for the actions of a renter? That is why there are such things as renter's insurance, but to try to hold a landlord responsible will just make it impossible for a person with an animal, well behaved or not, to find a place to rent because landlords will be in fear of being sued. Do you think? That is absurd. So if I was a landlord, I would say, you can't have animals. Can't have them. That's it. And I hear Judy from Oregon. She also complimented Suzanne Davis, who writes Greatness from Old People Scan. And because there's people that can take offense at the fact that, you know, she says I'm going to be old. And there's people that go, I'm not. I'm an older, but I'm just fine, thank you. Calm down. She just has fun. She's satirical. Has a good time with it. And by the way, we have changed. I don't want to tell you this, but we will. If you're older, you've changed too. I'm noticing, and I call for the aid for David to get a response. Bible, I think I need new glasses. I'm having trouble reading things. He thought I was just a klutz and couldn't read. That's not true. I read pretty good. But not recently, I noticed, so then all of a sudden I got thinking, okay, when you're not reading something up close like this, but take your glasses and move it, I don't see the change in it. It doesn't. So, you have to kind of get into that kind of stuff, didn't you? Other people are in the news, other thoughts that are about me, and I want to share. We've got a couple minutes to touch it. But I'll see if there's anything else we can share right here before then. The columnists, oftentimes, it's always the same kind of thing, like in the Russian law kind of thing. I still read them, don't know who gets it. Okay. We did have this commentary by Juliet Cam of the Boston Globe. Why this controversy out? Miami Marlins manager Ozzie Guillen's 5-year suspension for claiming his love for Cuban leader Fidel Castro shows nothing more than sports justice is strange and deeply disconcerting form of jurisprudence. Apparently, a hurl an anti-gay slur against a newspaper columnist, as Guillen did in 2006, but praising Castro is just plain unforgivable. So, this is kind of what Anne was saying. You know, yes, you have the freedom. You have freedom of speech, but if you use the freedom of speech the wrong way at the wrong time, it doesn't matter that it's not like illegal or anything. But the perception of it can be so bad that the people who you work for, which and actually every team does work for them, football league. I mean, baseball, everybody works for it. I mean, baseball, they even botch things up for them. The Major League Baseball is one thing to botch up. So you kind of say, okay, we're going to put them in. That's very strange. Very few people get stranger, I see. Well, but we're going to turn on. We will be all, as Little Town said, we're all in this alone.
Network.